According to Fahd Alakbarov, the Azerbaijani Scottish human rights activist, every country needs its whistleblowers. They are crucial to a healthy society. The employee who, in the public interest, has the independence of judgment and the personal courage to challenge malpractice or illegality is a kind of public hero. Brave heroes, to be sure. Take the example of Dr. I. Fenn, the director of the emergency department at the Central Hospital in Wuhan, who shared information about COVID-19 with other doctors in late December. Dr. Fenn and the others have since been arrested, or their whereabouts is unknown, according to the Times of Israel. According to the University of Southampton, if China had intervened at that time, the transmission of COVID-19 could have been reduced by 95%. The government of China hid the truth. So at great risk to themselves, people stand up to the suppression of the truth, be it in China or any other country where those in power seek to conceal the facts. In the United States, the Whistleblower Protection Act was enacted in 1989, an act that many whistleblowers say provided them with little or no protection. Former CIA agent Jeffrey Sterling, in his book Unwanted Spy, says the very act of carrying out his duty to report wrongdoing cost him his job and eventually his liberty. Thanks to the support of the Allard Prize for International Integrity, we were able to arrange an online interview with Jeffrey Sterling for a conversation that matters about the overwhelming need to protect the brave women and men who simply cannot turn their heads away from injustice.
Conversations That Matter is a partner program of the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the following and viewers like you. Please become a patron at conversationsthatmatter.tv.
Mr. Sterling, welcome to Conversations That Matter. And one of the conversations that really does matter in our collective democracies here in the United States, we're in Canada, is the ability to step forward and say something's wrong, especially when you are working within a large organization or a government agency. You've done that. Yes. But the climate around doing so right now is growing even more hostile than when you step forward. How do you characterize the state that we find ourselves in right now when it comes to protecting people who step up and say something is wrong?
I think there's an inconsistency. People are not being protected who are coming forward with information about malfeasance in government or wrongdoing in government. And instead of being embraced as an avenue to better government, these individuals are being vilified. They're being persecuted because they choose to step forward, because maybe someone within, especially government, doesn't like what they have to say or doesn't like the criticism that they're hearing. So it is, and I think you use the absolute right word, in hostile. It is a very hostile environment towards, for the most, whistleblowers.
Well, we take a look at the situation with Michael Atkinson right at the moment, who is the outgoing U.S. intelligence community inspector general, and all he was doing was fulfilling what was a requirement of his position when he notified Congress that there had been a legitimate concern that was brought forward, and he was dismissed for doing his job. What is it, it's reached the point where you have to now start to second guess whether or not you can even do your job the way that it's mandated to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. When I joined the CIA, we were encouraged if we had any issues that we see of wrongdoing happening in the organization, they told us about the avenues by which to bring those complaints forward to the right people. But as you go along, when you actually use those routes, it's a mechanism just to identify you and open you up for reprisal and retaliation. And that is the exact same thing that happened to me and so many others who have chosen to take a step to come forward and expose wrongdoing.
Well, and those reprisals are chilling, are they not? Because let's talk a little bit about your situation. You saw your career evaporate, but you also saw your rights and freedoms evaporate.
Absolutely. I'm a whistleblower in a lot of senses. My first aspect of bringing forward wrongdoing in the CIA where I worked was that I was being discriminated against solely because of the color of my skin. My supervisors in the CIA, when I confronted them as to why I was not receiving the same opportunities as everyone else, every other case officer in the organization, they flat out told me that I kind of stood out as a big black guy speaking Farsi, essentially saying that I was a security risk. That made no sense to me. I had proven myself in the organization. So I did file a discrimination suit against the organization. I was subsequently fired for that. In other instances, there was an operation I was involved in that completely fell apart with all of the safety and assurances I was given. I brought that forward through the proper channels. And the result of that was being indicted, prosecuted for leaking classified information, charges that were completely false.
You were indicted because you brought forth what you saw as wrongdoing. And
absolutely.
Just the fact that you raised the issue brought about an indictment?
Yes. I was involved in an operation called Operation Merlin when I was in the CIA. It was designed to thwart the Iranian nuclear program. My job in that was to help get into the Iranian program flawed plans for a nuclear weapon. And I was using an intermediary to do that. I was assured that these plans, no one would be able to detect the flaw. The theory being that the Iranians would get the plans, they would instill these plans into their program, it would not work, and it would set their program back by a number of years. I was given assurances that this had the highest levels of approval. We worked with the national labs to make sure that no one could detect the flaw. And then the moment as we were close to launching the operation, the individuals who were going to be handling those plans for me and get them to the Iranians immediately noticed that the plans were flawed. That set off bells and whistles to me, because if we're going to give them plans that the mistake is readily known, then instead of hindering the nuclear program for the Iranians, we instead will probably be speeding it up by providing them viable plans for a nuclear weapon. And I made my complaints known within the agency. I went to the Senate Intelligence Committee. And then shortly after my visit with the Senate Intelligence Committee, I was being investigated for leaking information related to that operation to a report.
So would going to the Senate Intelligence Committee be a normal course of action for somebody that would be in your position when you felt that there was a security issue and a potential breach of protocol? Would that be a normal course of action?
Absolutely. It's one of the few courses of action available. There is, of course, the Inspector General offices within the agency, which I did bring that up to them. Their response was the same that I got from my supervisors, which was essentially keep your mouth shut. And so I chose the avenue that was presented to me that I was allowed to do, especially because it involved classified information. I went to the Senate Intelligence Committee, whose job is to oversee intelligence, the intelligence community within the United States.
Do we not, as citizens, have a responsibility to step forward when we see wrongdoing and bring it to the attention of people who can address this? Because as an individual, there's only so much that you can do when you identify that there is a challenge, and so you need to reach out for help. And is there not supposed to be legislation in place that protects you for doing what is essentially your duty?
Absolutely. There is legislation on the books. I don't think it's worth the paper that it's written on. And there's lip service given by our politicians about the protections for whistleblowers. And it is an individual's duty to come forward, especially when it involves government wrongdoing or malfeasance, because then our government isn't going to be better, and it isn't going to be a government for the people. It's going to be a government operating on its own. without the best interest of the citizens, of its citizens. And I think, you know, even within my own feelings, it's a duty to come forward, because if you believe in your country, and especially if you believe in your government, then you believe it can be better. And bringing forward information about wrongdoing is a step in that direction.
So you go forward to the Senate, the Intelligence Subcommittee, you present your information, and the response is that you are disciplined and relieved of your position. What was the yes. consequence to you of just that as being the first of many retaliatory steps that were taken against you? How did that affect you personally?
Because I was one of the first African Americans to file a discrimination suit against the agency. And I was the only African American involved in Operation Merlin. I did take that step to stand up for myself and also stand up for my country. The retaliation that I faced was the first instance was being fired for complaining about discrimination. And the next was doing what I was supposed to do as a public servant within the CIA, bringing up information that I thought was crucial that our policymakers should know. And especially at a time when our troops were going into Iraq. And I felt that there was the potential of an unknown danger of them walking into based on because of the foolhardiness of Operation Merlin. And for that, I did suffer. I was subsequently, after I was fired, I was blacklisted, essentially. I wasn't able to find work anywhere. I lost everything. And then once I moved away, got my life back on track, the FBI showed up at my door years later, accusing me of leaking information to a reporter. And then after that, of course, in years past, I was put on trial. I was indicted, put on trial, and convicted, and ultimately sent to prison.
You were arrested and then charged, were you?
Yes, I was. I was arrested in January of 2011. The trial actually didn't happen until January 2015.
Were you detained that whole time between when you were arrested and when you went to trial, or were you remanded in your own custody?
I was, of course, at this time, I was living in the middle of the country and not in the D.C. area when I was arrested. When I was arrested, I was moved out to Virginia, and I was held for a good amount of time. And the judge finally relented because the prosecutors were saying that what I was going to do if I was not held was go out and start murdering CIA employees. The judge was believing that. And this, of course, was 10 years after I had anything to do with the agency. And I was held in the Alexandria jail, actually the same cell block that Moussaoui was held in when he was going on a trial for 9/11. So, I mean, it's all a system based on punishment. There's no belief if you've been accused or indicted. And unfortunately, it is a system of proving yourself innocent.
I'd like to go back and have you describe what it was like to be arrested. What were the details around that? How were you treated in that moment when they took you into custody? And then what was your situation while you were being detained? Because I understand that it exacerbated health conditions that you had.
In late 2010, I had to have knee replacement surgery. And at that time, I was working as a fraud investigator at a major health insurance company. So I was at home, I was in the hospital and then at home for the knee replacement. As I had found out, I was indicted that December 2010. And as I was getting, as I was rehabbing and getting back on my feet and getting ready to go back to work, I was informed by my supervisor that she wanted to have a meeting on a project that I was in charge of. So and asked if I was able to come down. At that time, I had rehabbed sufficiently enough to be able to drive and walk with a cane, very difficultly, I might add. It was all a ruse. When I did come down to my office, the FBI arrested me. And that was a shock to me. I thought that I had moved on from all of this. I had fought my battles. I had had no word of any machinations going on about my arrest or anything like that. And then all of a sudden, all the ordeals from my past show up in a very tremendous way. And because I was still recovering, I was having difficulty with my knee at that time. And then subsequently, when I was in prison in 2015, I suffered a heart issue, essentially a heart attack. And I was not able to get the necessary care from individuals at the prison. They had no concern for me having a heart event. And it took the efforts of my wife and thousands of supporters barraging the prison with emails and phone calls. And ultimately, a U.S. senator stepped in and asked about my situation and what was going on. And only through those extraordinary measures was I finally given the health care that I needed. I certainly could have died from that situation, but that is typical. And I think it's all, my experiences are all indicative of a criminal justice system that is off the rails. And it is completely one-sided, and it is completely unaccountable for its actions, especially towards individuals.
We're saying to people, you have a responsibility to step up and reveal wrongdoing, but when you do, the punishment, even without judgment, is so severe that you see your own health deteriorate, and it must have a tremendous toll on your frame of mind. What was that like for you?
It was absolutely horrible, especially sitting in prison, and you go through your, with the amount of time that you have in that situation, you certainly have a lot of time to review your life and your life choices and how you end up in this sort of situation. And what made it even worse for me was during that time, I'm sitting in prison and seeing the news headlines, General Petraeus, who admittedly lied to the FBI, revealed classified information, unjustifiably so. Yet he received only a slap on the wrist. And other high-level politicians and high-level government individuals who did far worse than anything I was accused of, facing a different criminal justice system, unlike the criminal justice system that loomed over me for years and years, and then finally hammered me, destroyed my life, threw me in prison. That was not the same criminal justice system for individuals like Petraeus, who received only a slap on the wrist. And also, it was also disheartening to see, while I was in prison, General Cartwright, who had revealed information wrongfully, even about Iranian operations, yet he was fully pardoned for his transgressions. And it shows a level of inequity between those who are trying to do the right thing for the sake of our government, as opposed to those who are doing the wrong thing for the sake of themselves.
Clearly, to step forward is an act of remarkable bravery, because you don't have power when you do that. Unless you have a high public profile, anybody else who chooses to stand up and say something is going wrong or is amiss is taking an extremely brave step forward to stand up for what is right. What's your advice to anybody who finds themselves in that situation now that you've been through this incredibly arduous experience that has been, in some ways, I'm sure, soul-destroying?
Yeah, I'm sure I'm not the poster child for stepping forward and complaining about things or bringing forward transgressions. But my advice to anyone who is even considering bringing to light wrongdoing is stay true to yourself. If it bothers you to the point that you are even thinking about going forward, then stay true to yourself and do it. Yes, there is a tremendous risk. But I think, I know, our government, even businesses, are not going to be better unless there are people, upstanding people, who are going to stand up and say no or say enough.
Well, when we take a look at your case and a more widely known case, that of Julian Assange, How do you characterize the current state that we're in right now, and what do you believe is the likelihood that more and more people will step up?
The United States government using the Espionage Act to silence dissent. I was charged violating the Espionage Act, a completely ridiculous use of that law, a very ancient law, if you will. It is so out of date. I don't think anyone has really taken a look at it for a long time. But they're using it as a hammer to silence dissent. And with regard to Mr. Assange, a lot of the things that are happening to him, I believe the groundwork was laid during my trial. There was an appeal. The government wanted to be able to call the reporter who I supposedly leaked information to. At first, the judge would not allow them to. But then they won on appeal that there is no protection for sources and journalists. So with that in hand, and using the Espionage Act, that set the groundwork for them to go after Julian Assange. And it's like vindictiveness off the scale, the actions against Mr. Assange. And I think also indicative of how perverse use of the Espionage Act has been. There has been concern that if Mr. Assange is extradited, and he could potentially, if convicted, receive over 100 years in prison. To alleviate those concerns, the Queen's Counsel, of course, at the direction of U.S. government lawyers, stated before the court that the benchmark for what he would be facing was individuals like myself. And they used my name, Jeffrey Sterling, during the proceedings. I find that quite reprehensible to use a travesty of justice as a benchmark for what Mr. Assange will be facing. I don't think Mr. Assange will receive any fair treatment in any courts. He's going to the same court, if he is extradited, that convicted me. But this is the same court system that initially for me told me I had no rights as a citizen. I fear that Mr. Assange will face even harsher treatment by that court.
I applaud you for continuing to shine a light on this very, very important issue. It demonstrates continued bravery because every time that you step forward and shine a light on wrongdoing, you do so by putting yourself at risk as well. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Conversations That Matter, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.